I'd call the meeting of the Wilmer City Planning Commission for November 6th, 2019 to order. First on the agenda are the minutes from October 16th. That have been mailed to you, I'm assuming, or you've already seen them. For motion for approval or any changes?
See any. Motion approved.
Got a motion, do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion, a second to approve the minutes as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Hearing none. Seven ayes, zero nays. Lost track there, use both hands. Okay, first thing on the agenda, 701. Project turnabout conditional use permit. I will turn this to you, Sarah, I believe. We can go with you.
Absolutely. All right, so the conditional use permit before us is for project turnabout. What's being requested is a new development for 2020. It is that time of year already. It will be a 16-bed residential facility for women in conjunction with some outpatient programming for substance abuse as a part of Project Turnabout's kind of overall program. For point of reference, pull it up here on the map too. We're right across the street from the high-rise apartments, if you're aware of where that is, kind of in the old town portion. Right between 7th and 8th Street Northwest and Gorton Avenue and what used to be Lake Avenue. Technically, the block goes all the way up to Ella now. So Project Turnabout owns the majority of this block, other than obviously the city park. The townhomes will continue to be as townhomes. Sherry's Place is the home that exists there currently, and that will continue to exist. And then on this southeast portion of the block will be this new 16-bed residential facility. So first, we're going to review the conditional use permit. There's also going to be a subdivision that we're going to review next, which is really just replatting, cleaning up the property lines, that kind of thing next. But we'll get into that after this. So the basic details, like I said, 16-bed facility, which is the most that we would allow. The property is zoned R4, so everything there fits within our requirements as long as they get this approval for conditional use permit. Project Turnabout owns that entire block. Access would be off of 7th Street and Gorton Avenue. We would see plenty of parking there. They currently have 39 spaces provided just for that outpatient parking. Itself, city water, city mains, they're all available there. I did note that they're under the minor subdivision, that there would be a couple additional staff comments coming. And that's what I have distributed to. While it's technically connected to the subdivision, you know, inevitably there's some things that connect to what actual project is going to be going on there. So utilities wants to see some water mains terminated if they're not going to be used. Basic stuff that ultimately will fall under the permit review. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing crazy. We do want to see some sort of stormwater retention on site. It doesn't have to be a detention pond. Basically what the ordinance says is that we don't want the runoff rate to be higher than what it is currently. And so we will want to see some of those plans. Again, that goes kind of along with that permitting process. So engineering department will have final say of that. So we just help them with a little teeth. So we have a recommendation for an additional condition that ordinance be complied with and all plans be approved by engineering department. Again, nothing out of the ordinary there. There were some questions about some setbacks, and so we, in conversation with the developer, we've just kind of said that it's anticipated that all setbacks be met. If that changes, we would want to see that variance. But again, I think that there's plenty of space on this site. I don't foresee there being in need for any of that kind of stuff. It is a nice transitional use with the high-rise apartments across the street. This kind of lower scale use, but still kind of this multifamily feel kind of helps with that transition from the high rise to the townhomes and then further west into some of that single family use in that area. It does include some green space. And it also has that city park on the north, which is a great amenity as well to have right there. So it would be staff recommendation for that this conditional use permit to be approved with the conditions that the minor subdivision be approved, stormwater ordinance be complied with, all setbacks be complied with, or that variance obtained, and all the use shall comply with all applicable rules, laws, and regulations at all times.
Okay, thank you. I will have a public hearing.
Yep.
At this time, I'll open the public hearing. With that in mind, if there's anyone here that wishes to speak in regards to this project, for or against, your time is now. Please come state your name and your address and such.
Hi. I'm going to bump you here now. Here with the chairman of the board from Project Turnabout. I'm the director from Project Turnabout, and just wanted to let you know that this is an exciting project, really. We're really talking about a women's residence. We intend that we have Ng and then Associates that are designing this, so we really want it to be a very nice facility. It'll be staffed around the clock. It will be licensed by the state of Minnesota Health Department and Department of Human Services. It will be for individuals that are coming out of treatment programs, so it's not that they're coming in here. It's not a detox center or anything like that. It's really a long-term kind of program to help women get on their feet. And it's sort of that whole campus. We want to turn that into sort of a women's service campus for people to feel safe and secure and essentially continue their journey into recovery without alcohol and drugs. Predominantly, we draw from Project Turnabout. For those of you who aren't familiar with this, we're rural. Essentially, most of the people that come to us are from rural Minnesota. About 9 to 11% fluctuates from the Twin Cities. So generally speaking, they're from the rural communities, but predominantly Kandy is our biggest location. We've been in working with a collaborative group of the Jobs Center, Ridgewater, and McCarris to essentially work together to move individuals, not just to be in recovery, but to get them some training so that they can get jobs that they can support themselves. This will be women's, there won't be a women's and children's program, but the park provides a great venue for people to visit on weekends. So I did bring some photos if anyone is interested at some point in more detail on this, but I think we'll be good neighbors. And we did have a sort of an informational hearing where we sent it out to all the addresses last week, and no one came to demonstrate any concern or anything like that. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else wishes to speak?
Just for the record, could you state your name?
Oh, yeah.
Mike Schicks, Executive Director of Project Turnabout.
Thank you. You want that spelled?
No.
I'll ask you, if you're here at the meeting, you need to sign in over here prior to your leaving, so we know your attendance. Hearing no other comments, I'll close the public hearing and we'll open up to the commissioners. Any questions from the commissioners in regards to this? Okay, well, hearing none, I will go on. I got to read the findings of facts. Yay. Okay, here we go. That the conditional use / plan review with such conditions as the commission shall determine and attach conforms to the purpose and intent of this ordinance and is in conformity with the comprehensive land use plan of the city. Number two, that there was no factual demonstration of substantial applicable negative impact on values to properties in the neighborhood from the proposed conditional use plan review. Number three, the conditional use plan review will not result in the destruction, loss, or damage of natural, scenic, or historic features of major importance to the community. Number four, that the conditional use plan review will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding property for use permitted in the district as zoned. Number five, that adequate utilities, access roads, stormwater management, and other necessity necessary facilities have been or are being provided. And number six, that adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide egress and ingress in such a manner as to minimize traffic congestion and maximize public safety in the public streets. And finally, number seven, the conditional use review will be designed, constructed, operated, and maintained in a manner that is compatible in appearance with the existing or intended character of the surrounding area neighborhood. So, with that in mind, I would entertain a motion from the commissioners. Or any questions? Still got discussion.
Motion to approve the application for conditional use permit with the recommendations provided.
By Stan.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. And this is a roll call, right?
Yes.
So we'll have a roll call vote on this, starting with you, Jeff.
Aye.
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 Aye. Those seven ayes, zero nays. Passes. And now we move to our fourth item here, Project Turnabout Minor Subdivision.
So,
and I get to go for you, Sarah, again.
Yeah. So same applicant, same project. Like I stated before, we wanted to see some lot cleanup. Originally, this block had been intended for townhomes. Some of those were never developed. If some of you remember, there was one old home that was torn down on this area that this 16-bed residential facility will be going on. So in order to clean that up, we have this minor subdivision. As we recall, we did do some revisions to the subdivision ordinance last year, and so we created this minor subdivision provision, which allows for us to not have to hold a public hearing on this. We figure it's small enough that Planning Commission can review it, send that approval to planning or to City Council actually as a consent agenda item, and it goes through that way, and we satisfy charter requirements, and state statute allows us to just move through that process a little bit faster, and jump through less hoops, causes less staff time, less fees, all of that kind of stuff. So because of all of those lines, the preliminary plat's a little bit difficult to see. So I did, if you can see this map, what you'll end up with is a two-lot plat at the end of it. So that house that currently exists on the north end, the park is just north of this area. That will be on one lot, and then there'll be this second lot, and that's where that 16-bed facility will be built. So everything has public access. The additional staff comments I kind of distributed tonight. The police chief had no concerns that may or may not change. I don't see there being access issues because of all of the access around all of the buildings for fire safety purposes. Really, to break down what engineering and utilities had said, we want to make sure that the parking surfaces are paved bituminous, that won't be a problem. Old curb cuts should be abandoned, unused water services shall be abandoned. That'll all again be covered in that permitting process. So I don't see any concern there. And again, stormwater was one thing that engineering touched on, of course, as we expect. And we covered that in that last one, that they should have review of that. We also want to see that utility easement along some of the edges of the properties, so we include that on there. I will, at this point, I do want to bring up the park dedication fees. So as part of that revision of our subdivision ordinance, we built in this park dedication fee requirement, and that allows for, as we develop as a city and grow, it allows for our developments to take into consideration that park need as well. We've got a great park system now. We want to continue that and make sure that as we grow, access remains adequate for all of those new developments. That being said, this is what we consider a replat. Though there is a provision in the subdivision that if the park dedication fees haven't been paid for a replat, that we do require them. However, I would be comfortable seeing a interpretation of that really, because of this unique circumstance, this is such an old part of town. Parks already exist. There's a number of them in this area. I really see it almost redundant to require park dedication fees, and I don't think that it requires a rewrite. I think it's simply the interpretation of that provision. In, you know, running some numbers and talking with the county assessor, we estimate park, or we calculate park dedication fees off of estimated market value for properties. But the way the ordinance is written is it's estimated values off of unplatted land. But in these old areas, everything's platted, everything's developed. And so those valuations are going to be significantly higher than, say, a unique opportunities that's developing on the edge of town in a bunch of cropland. So in comparison, we know that Unique Opportunities was about a 10 to 15 acre site, and they paid about $5,000. Under my calculation for Project Turnabout, they'd be at about $6,000. And to me, that just doesn't seem equal. And being that, like I said, the parks already exist in this area, statute's very limiting as to what that money can be used for. I don't think that this neighborhood is going to see the direct effect of those park dedication fees that something like a Unique Opportunity is paying for that, as we're developing outskirt land or previously undeveloped land areas would see. So as long as everyone's comfortable with that and there's no major objection to that, I would actually recommend pulling that piece or that requirement from this. Like I said, I don't think that sets us up that we can never charge that again, or that we've unfairly charged it to Unique Opportunities. I think that fits within the intention of the ordinance.
Okay. Do you need a motion from the panel, from the board, or is this?
I think a consensus, and then whoever wants to move forward with a motion for the preliminary plat, I think we just make the note that should be that recommendation C should be pulled, so it should just be the three.
Okay.
Does the planning commission have the authority to waive ordinance requirements or statutory requirements?
I wouldn't really consider it a waiving. I would consider this more of a clarification of interpretation of the ordinance.
And that leads to the next question of who has the authority to provide that clarification.
Planning Commission.
My thought would be that is there any authority available to the commission to allow the amount of the fee be based upon the bare land value, because the assessor's office does include that value in determining the overall value of the property, including the improvements.
And I can certainly look to that number. I know in talking with the assessors, they're actually working on like revaluing everything, because they did it on a, what did they say? They did it as a like frontage, like per foot frontage value, whereas in the city that just doesn't quite work. And so they're looking at more of that like lot value, because you know, you can still only build one structure on this as a residential property kind of thing. So they're looking at some changes as well, and I can certainly look at that number. The subdivision ordinance is under the Planning Commission authority, so if we want to look at an ordinance change, we can certainly do that as well.
Would you have any idea of what that land value would provide for a fee?
I don't, because I don't know what that land value is. I mean, how do I put it right now? One of these small townhome pieces is valued at like $600 right now. But when you pull in like Sherry's Place that already has improvements on it, then the estimated market value of that property significantly increases.
Yeah, but Sarah, what I'm referring to is the underlying land value without the improvements, because that would make a significant difference in what the fees would be.
Right. And I don't.
So you'd base it on, you're saying if you base it on land value, the fee is going to go down.
And that would be consistent with how we apply that
ordinance
requirement to new developments on bare land.
Yeah. I can have another conversation with the county about that. When I had asked I thought for something similar like that, of like what, just what would, you know, bare land value in this area be, they kind of said I can't really give you a number, which was interesting, but I will get some further clarification on that.
We ask for those numbers all the time. So,
oh, yeah. Well, okay, maybe I just need to ask the question differently.
Okay, with that in mind.
Yeah.
Do we proceed?
Yeah, yes, yeah. Certainly, no, want to.
I thought.
Okay. And that can be something that can be either we can bring back, this still has to go to council and stuff, and figure out, we can review it at the next meeting too if we want, for that particular piece. Ultimately, that kind of gets handled at a staff level, so.
Yeah. We don't have to include that in a motion, or do we, an exception or not in the motion to approve or whatever? Do we have to state that we're gonna go back and...
I think that's, you know, do we want to leave that park dedication or cash in lieu with note that staff will do a little more digging on it?
Anybody have anything to say?
One of the things we would be willing to donate or whatever to that park fund, given the nature of that park sort of in line and what, how it got done with some of what our mission is.
Okay. Let's leave it in there, I think, for now, and I will have another conversation with the county tomorrow, and see if we can get that,
well, you know,
that
you
land value of that area.
You can accept or reject my comments. That's up to the commission.
Yeah.
But my suggestion would be to approve it with the recommendation that any fee for parks be based upon the
bare
land value,
sure,
to,
yep,
be determined,
yep,
provided by the county or,
yep,
the city assessor.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's
good.
Kind of how it's written, and I'll make sure that note is,
yep,
in there for,
okay,
future. Yep.
So nothing would have to come back to us.
No.
No.
So that
would,
yeah,
be
nice.
Come back. No.
For,
yeah, well, I have
for the,
yeah,
purpose of,
yeah,
keeping this project and its fees consistent,
yeah,
with how we would apply that ordinance or that,
right, yes,
requirement,
right,
to any other development.
Yep,
right,
and that was my concern when I was looking at those values, is I,
yeah,
couldn't justify charging,
yeah,
significantly more than,
right,
somebody who's building a significantly,
yeah,
larger,
yeah,
development,
right,
somewhere else.
Yep, I agree on that. Before I take a motion, I have to do another reading of finding of facts, and this is a different one.
Yep.
Subdivisions. Here we go. Number one, all applicable provisions of the municipal code and ordinances are complied with, including but not limited to the zoning and stormwater ordinances. Number two, there is no factual demonstration of substantial negative impact to the present and potential surrounding land uses. Number three, the area surrounding the subdivision can be planned and developed in coordination and compatibility with the proposed subdivision. Number four, the subdivision is consistent with the city comprehensive plan. Number five, the subdivision preserves and incorporates the site's important existing natural, scenic, and historical features to the greatest extent possible. Number six, all land intended for building sites can be used safely without endangering the residents by peril from floods, erosion, continuously high water table, severe soil conditions, or other menace. And number seven, the subdivision can feasibly be served with public facilities, infrastructure, and services, and the developer will satisfy this ordinance's requirements for the construction of such public facilities and infrastructures. The end. Now, at this point, I will entertain a motion. Am I at that part?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep.
Motion.
Go ahead.
Approve with the recommendations provided in the additional recommendation on park fees previously stated on the record.
Yeah. Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. And this is a voice vote, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Seven ayes, zero nays. Motion passed.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
See you later, Crip. Okay, what we got next here now?
Moving on the list.
Number five, we got the climber detachment. Yay. there's no public hearing, no, there's nothing. Just to go to you, Sarah, again, to show us the, remind us of what we're talking about again.
All right. So we did briefly discuss this at our last meeting in October. So this is a property out on Civic Center Drive. It is southeast of the abandoned rail spur, and it's owned by Mark and Lori Ziemer, who are both the petitioners for this request. And so as we discussed, detachment is the exact opposite of annexation. This would move this property from city limits back to the township authority or jurisdiction. Land has historically been used for cropland. It remains in that use. The land was originally annexed into the city around 2007 for that pelletization plant that never came to fruition. So the land abuts the property or the city's boundary on the east side of town. So it meets that requirement that it be right along the border there. And representatives for this petition have really heavily discussed the constraints that this property faces, particularly the bordering of the abandoned rail spur that the railroad still owns, so there's very limited vehicular access to this area. In addition to the bypass being on the other side of the property, and then further south, there is the active rail spur. So it's really this kind of triangle of land that has very limited access. The comprehensive plan does call for working with the railroad to get that abandoned rail spur completely abandoned and turned into a trail, but we have yet to see that happen. We also have some difficulty getting utility access back in this direction, but as we've talked about, we also want to see that orderly development, and so we would prefer not to see some sort of septic tank or something like that out in this area either, which puts us in an interesting position when we have this request before us. The fire chief and the police really don't have any issue or concern either way. I did talk to the police chief about the hunting provision on this this area, because I know that was one thing that was brought up. If it was outside city limits, there's no distance from city limits that someone has to be. If they're across the road, they can be hunting as long as it's not within city limits as the ordinance stands. That being said, there are some private properties out by the airport that are given special kind of like pest control permits for sake of like geese in air space. And he, in conversation with him tonight, he did say that maybe we could look at some sort of special provision for this property if it did stay within city limits. So that is one conversation I would like to have with the petitioners. If we did move in that direction, are they still interested in walking through this whole process? Wilmer Municipal Utilities, we did reach out to them, and their service territory would remain the same whether it's detached or not. So it would still be within their territory for service. They said generally they would concur with the attorney in the approach of general opposition of the requested detachment. I did hear back from the school district. Again, really no comments or concerns either way for him. They have their boundary would not change. So the school district goes beyond. It's not contingent upon our city limits. With engineering, they kind of remain neutral as well, which is always interesting. And I also, I happened to be at the township meeting last night for an annexation that we'll review at our next meeting, but we did have some discussion about the detachment as well, and at this point the township is kind of taking the neutral standpoint as well, which really does not help us in any way, shape, or form either. You know, it's really, we haven't seen this sort of request before. I think ultimately it becomes a legislative decision. I think I could see it going either way. I think our, you know, because we haven't seen that rail spur abandoned completely and connected to the trail, I do have a hard time saying that, you know, we don't want to cooperate and move forward with this detachment without saying here are actionable steps that we're trying to take to actually consider this area of land that's within city limits, while we're also talking about annexation of other land and trying to get access in other parts of town. But that, you know, that being said, I also see the argument for keeping it within city limits and saying that that's where it is. And if you want access, that's, you know, if you want utilities, we're going to be the ones that are actually feasibly going to be able at some point to serve you. So by no means do we, I think it's arguable either way. And we can take either stance. The city attorney does say that they generally recommend opposition. Basically what happens is the city takes a stance, the township takes a stance that gets sent to the state. If they aren't in agreement, the state basically becomes the moderator and they decide, is this a reasonable detachment? What are going to be the terms for detachment? What are they kind of become the grantee of what's going to happen. And the city attorney's office generally just recommends that you go through that full process. So that's the stance that he would take. What we're looking for tonight is a recommendation from Planning Commission for City Council, and they will make that final decision.
Yep, I'm open to comments right now.
What's
fire away.
I've got some comments.
Okay.
I note that the application for detachment is really undefined in purpose, and the only real quantifiable purpose provided was to allow the owner to hunt on the land. And I believe that Sarah has provided a possible solution for that, mm-hmm. if that is the true purpose.
Yeah.
I also noted that there's significant development north, east, and south of the proposed detachment property within the city limits, and it would be reasonable that the property seeking detachment, which may one day, if not already, be an island, will again be asked by future owners to be annexed or incorporated into the city limits for development purposes. And it is my understanding that just the cost alone of providing the essential city services needed for future development is not a purpose for approval of de-annexation and detachment of city property. That is an issue to be determined by the developers in the future,
right,
as part of their planning project and the financing of that project, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Those are my comments.
Yeah. Well taken. A couple comments from me would be just that ideally with the location of that property, if and when that rail spur finally be given up by Burlington Northern, which who knows when that'll be, as far as development, I would see that to be developed first before any of the other area because of the rail spur too. Jeffrey?
Sir, what, I think you covered the city attorney, but on the utilities, their last one says they would concur with the city council and city attorney Scott's approach to general opposition. What, has the city council made some, or is this just something?
I left it in there. I probably should have just taken it out. City council has not reviewed this at any point yet.
Okay,
it's only been the city attorney.
Okay.
I would like to add also that according to the applicant, there's going to be no change to his use of the property going forward, whether it's within the city or without the city.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Limits. So there should be no immediate change in benefit to
either
approving
this
detachment.
Yeah.
What would be the cost to annex that again? We were talking about that a little bit earlier too.
Yeah.
You know, if there's this joint annexation process that we've been going through with the township, we did one last year for this big housing development and the Ziegler Cat project, and you'll see it again next week, or not next week, but the next meeting for this annexation that we talked about for Epitopics. Really, that process is relatively straightforward as long as all of the property owners are in agreement. The annexation application is $100 to cover staff time. There's no public hearings that are required as long as 100% of the property owners are in approval of. And so then we just send a resolution through the township and through city council and through planning commission to say, yep, we all are in agreement and we're going to move forward. And then there is some filing fees with the state for 80 acres. It was like $200, $300. So I want to say it's a relatively low cost. I think there would probably be room to consider how much we charge for some of our land use applications and probably up that annexation fee a little bit, thinking about all of the input that we receive from different people. But we are fortunate to have a very agreeable township, which really is the base behind why that process is so easy for us.
But so since this land owner doesn't really want to be part of the city of Wilmer, they're asking to be detached,
mm-hmm.
and at some point there'd be a will to reattach. The only way that is a low-cost process is if this landowner now decides that they want to be a part of the city of Wilmer, correct?
Right. And that, I mean, there's reason in time for annexations when property owners are in disagreement. But I'd say in Wilmer that they're relatively few and far between when we don't do something that's actually petitioned by the property owners first. So a future property owner that was interested in becoming a part of the city again to access some of those different services that we can provide that the township can't. That usually isn't a hoop to jump through, but it also could be.
Could you explain a little bit more on how that thing with the hunting and the airport? I remember that happening, but is it just a permit that the city writes for a specific chunk of land and says the property owner, probably just the property owner or some, can use this land and they don't have to pay a fee or anything?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the fees, but in my conversation with the chief, he said that usually it's essentially a letter that states all of the agreements that have been created. You know, everybody stays on private property. There's, specified private property. There's no hunting on city lands. You follow all the DNR regulations. You follow gun safety regulations, all of that kind of stuff. Like the airport land, I would say this is generally distant from other developments. It is kind of, because of its limited access back there and different things, we're not right in the backyard of somebody's house. Though there is, there is proximity to some other developments in this area, but
I don't know. With the, my feeling is with, that's what he said he wanted it for, is for hunting.
Yeah. And if he
that
could
it would save all the detachment, attachment, and those things to just grant their wish. And
is there any fees with detachment?
That's the other tricky part. Because it's not anything that we have in charter or ordinance or code, I don't really know if we can charge for it. Which is kind of hard because we've definitely put some staff time into it. So that's one piece we also probably need to address.
Yeah, it also seems to me that some of these other parcels nearby, the parcel between the Golden Triangle and Regency, at one point there was some interest in development there.
Mm-hmm.
Another apartment complex on Lakeland, that if anything, it's going to get more dense with population out here, not yeah. less dense.
Right.
Yeah.
So his reasoning for hunting would not be cooperative with that.
No.
Maybe the other person can have a nuisance deer control sort of measure, but that's...
I don't know if there'd be many deer in that.
Yeah.
But.
So with that potential exception for this property owner, would that be just for that owner, or would it be attached to the land? So another potential owner comes along, they'd have to go through the same process for an
exception? They'd have to go through the same process. And I think it's a yearly thing that they have to
okay.
be approved for.
As if they can get hold at any time if some circumstance
changes? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if there was a violation of something.
You know, that's the recommendation that you can make to the landowner if this application is not approved, that they pursue their goal of allowing hunting through other channels, such as the mm-hmm. law enforcement.
You know, it makes sense that there's no fees for detachment since it's never happened, right? So
yeah.
How do you, why would you create
we would,
a fee for something?
We would never anticipate this. This is, you know, it's one of those rarities that...
Like, a fee's there to cover the city's costs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But if you've never done something before, how would you like determine a fee?
I understand that, but I mean, it's still, she's already put time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have the same process on detachment as you do on attachment or annexation.
You would think so.
The application would be similar.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to put it in perspective, the interim administrator, who's been an administrator for 20, 30 years, has never seen this before, so.
Yeah.
But the pelleting plant went through a lot of work looking at that property, and I think the thing that killed that one was the railroad issue. So, I mean, that north part of that triangle still holds potential for building
mm-hmm.
on it. And to me, it seemed like you'd want to hang on to it and just grant their wish.
You know, with the high school being built out there, what is it now? They've been out there 20 years?
20 years?
Yeah, 1998. No.
Well, that, for when?
Let's see.
94.
Since
94, because my son went through it. He was the first freshman class, and I went through the whole 4 years there. So that'd been 94, because you got out in 98.
25.
Yeah, so it's about 25 years. Yeah, 26 years. And I thought by now there'd be development out mm-hmm. there with that high school there, and it just surprises me there hasn't been. I don't know, maybe somebody just wants too much money.
Well, yeah, 7 years. That state facility's just on the other side of the interchange here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the utility issue is the sewer and water is the biggest hurdle there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have a development come in for this 60-acre piece that's substantial enough to absorb that cost is just kind of, you know, you're just kind of waiting for that.
Yeah. So any other comments? Anything? With that, I think I'd say it's a voice. Do we need a motion?
Yeah, we need some sort of consensus.
Yeah, some kind of motion. Do we need a motion or just a consensus or what?
It would be nice to have a motion.
Yeah, I think so too. I would rather have a motion.
Recommendation is.
Yep.
Again, the options for council are approval, denial, or neutral for the petition of detachment. So I would recommend that you make a motion of one of those
one
three.
Of three.
I'll make a motion of denial of the request.
Okay.
I will second that.
Okay, a second.
A voice vote.
It's a voice vote. Any more discussion?
Would we want to include anything in there, like, because the reason that they gave was for hunting, that deny it, and that Sarah would proceed with that further, that way they know they've got something?
Recommendations of
to get a permit?
Methods of getting at the intended purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we... At least the motion says that we're denying it, but we're offering them to accept their reasoning.
And I will actually even say that I would plan to, after I just had that conversation with the chief tonight, and so I would actually plan to even contact them before we go to city council with this, in the slight event that they might even look at just pulling the petition altogether, and saying that there's a different way we can go about this. Here's what's being recommended.
I guess I don't care if it's put in or not, but I guess just if somebody's willing to put it in the motion, then
I'd let the record show also that the purpose that was stated for the application for detachment was provided verbally to the commission by the applicant's agent or real estate agent. The applicants themselves have never appeared. To voice their any other purpose for the detachment, and no one has appeared tonight on behalf of the applicants or the application to provide that information.
Yep. Agree. So noted.
Noted.
Let it be said. Let it be written. Okay. Well, I have a motion and a second on the floor for denial. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 7 ayes, 0 nays for denial. Okay. One more item so far. We have the city acquisition of property.
All right. This one should be pretty quick and easy.
In Pheasant Run, not Pleasant View.
Yeah.
Who's detached? I'm getting detached.
No, you're not.
Thank you.
Ralph always been
no precedent.
I'm always in denial. And especially after last Sunday, I've been in denial all week. Okay.
So the city's recently received notification of certain properties available due to tax forfeiture. One of these being in Pheasant Run, as mentioned, kind of sandwiched right between 23rd and 24th Street Southeast. Let me pull it up here. So it's this little triangle back here. They've got this trail back here, and it's this triangle piece. The county has determined the market value of the property at $200, which is what it would go up for auction at, and likely what we would purchase it for. And the city engineering department is recommending the purchase of the property for stormwater management purposes. So as the charter states, Planning Commission needs to review all property before the city purchases it and determine whether the purchasing of it is in compliance with the comprehensive plan. It would be staff recommendation to approve the acquisition of this land for stormwater purposes, because it does fit within our comprehensive plan, and that wanting to, you know, consider that provision and that need to provide those measures throughout the city. I will note the city council has reviewed this. It got a little backwards in the mix of things, but it was contingent upon Planning Commission reviewing it before it's final. And so that is what they're looking for, that final piece before we move forward.
So with that, any discussion? Otherwise, I'm looking for a motion.
So was any notice provided to the surrounding property owner?
Yep. Part of the tax forfeiture process will be for the county to send letters to all of the surrounding properties directly adjacent to notify them that that land is going up for sale. There actually, I will note that there was another piece just up here on 6th Avenue, I think. This piece right in here is also one. And we've actually recommended that this property owner buy it for setback purposes, because buying a strip of land for $100 will save them a wild mess of legal headache
when they sell.
So that
it cost me
they will, years. You know, they've also been notified. I sent them a letter. The county will send them a letter, but adjacent property owners do get notified of those auctions that do go up.
Cost me $500 when the stake was only off by 6 inches in the property line. So.
Mm-hmm.
You got by easy.
Exactly.
This was 20 years ago.
Did you get a motion?
No, I have not a motion.
Okay, I'll make that.
Motion to approve. I have a second.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve the city acquisition of this property. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. None hearing, 7 ayes, 0 nays. It passes. Do we have any miscellany?
We have no miscellany. We definitely anticipate, or put on your calendar for the next October meeting, or, well, October, November meeting. We do have another subdivision and conditional use permit to review,
okay,
as well as that annexation that I mentioned. So we will have another full agenda.
Okay. With that in mind, I will take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.